Okay, now let's review Chapter 2, which deals with financial statement or financial statement analysis. And I'm just going to put up here, well, I was going to put financials up here, but I'll go ahead and put down financial statement analysis. This is an important area of business, finance especially, because what we do with financial statement analysis, and again, what we do in finance in general, is we're looking to the future. We want to make decisions about value. And basically that means looking towards the future. So financial statement analysis, what we're looking at, the reason why we look at financial statements is to try to predict the future. First of all, I guess what we'll do is go through like we have done previously in the reviews, and we'll bullet point a few of these areas here. There's certain financial statements, and I'll just call, in this case, I will just call these financials, that we should be aware of, and I'll put them down below here. The balance sheet, and these should be reviews for everybody because one of the prerequisites for this course is accounting, and you should have gone through these particular statements. Remember, the balance sheet basically gives an indication of the assets, which are the investments of the firm, and how those investments are financed, whether they're financed with debt, which would be liabilities, or whether they're financed with equity, which would be the stock. Then we have the income statement, which are the revenues and expenses of the firm over a particular period of time, maybe a year, for example, and it gives an indication as to whether the firm was profitable during that particular year. Then we have what we call the statement of cash flows. The statement of cash flows gives an indication as to what cash flows were generated and how those cash flows were used. So basically what it shows is the investments of the firm, how the cash flows were used as how those cash flows were invested, and where the cash flows came from, whether they came from operations, whether they came from borrowing money, or whether they came from issuing new stock. And the fourth statement is the statement of retained earnings. And I'm going to abbreviate this here. The statement of retained earnings is exactly what it says. It gives an indication of how the equity section of the balance sheet has changed over time. These four financial statements are included on the annual report, or in the annual report, I should say, of a company. And they give an indication of what the firm has done during the past fiscal period, which might be 1 year, and even prior to that, in some cases 2 to 3 years earlier. Now, if I had to pick one of these statements as a finance person that I would be most inclined to look at and would give me the greatest amount of information, it would be this one, the statement of cash flows. The reason is, as I mentioned, because that statement gives me an indication as to where the cash came from and how the cash was used. If I look at the statement of cash flows and I find that the firm is generating most of its cash flows by borrowing, in other words, it's not really generating cash flows from its normal operations, which means by producing and selling whatever its inventory is, then that's probably not a good sign. It's not a good sign because that means the firm is probably deficit spending. It's not bringing in as much revenue as the expenses that are being paid out, and that can't continue in a firm for any particular period of time. I mean, it can for a year or two or three, but not over an extended period. So that might be a sign that the firm is headed to a financial ruin and therefore bankruptcy. Okay, second thing we talked about in this chapter is ratios. Now, one of the things I want to remind you, I don't expect you to go through and memorize these ratios. Instead, what I want you to do is understand what the information is provided in the various categories of ratios. So let's put this down here. What we have is the first category that was mentioned are the liquidity ratios. And liquidity ratios give information about the liquidity of the firm, but more importantly, what that means is how well the firm, and I'll write this out, it'll take a second here, how well the firm, I'm not going to use proper sentences either, can meet its current obligations. And what that means is whether the firm can pay its bills, like its salaries, utilities, and so forth. I'm going to say current bills here instead of current obligations because it's shorter. So if the liquidity ratios look good, that really means, or indicates, I should say, that the firm shouldn't have any problem paying its current bills, paying suppliers, paying utilities, paying salaries. The second group we talked about were the asset management ratios. The asset management ratios give an indication of the efficiency of the firm, basically how well the assets are being utilized to generate income or sales. So I'll just put here efficiency. If we have two firms that have the same assets, then, and one firm generates much higher revenues and income than the second firm does, then the firm that generates, using the same assets, generates the higher revenues and income, is a much more efficient firm. And that we can tell by measuring these ratios. The third group is what we call debt management ratios. Now I'm going to abbreviate even further here with MGMT for management. The debt management ratios give an indication, and I'm going to be specific here and say long-term debt. It's really debt in general, but if we think about debt on a firm, the largest portion of debt that the firm has outstanding at any point in time is long-term debt. The debt management ratios give an indication of two things. Basically, how well the firm is doing what we call servicing its current long-term debt. Is it doing okay? Is it able to make the interest payments and the repayment of that debt? And the second thing is whether the firm can take on new debt. If the debt management ratios are high, in other words, if the percentage of the firm that is financed with debt is very high, then we're going to say that firm shouldn't take on any more debt because it has too much already. I mean, it's really looking at the debt management ratios is a lot like looking at what we would consider debt management ratios for individuals. If you have a certain income and you have a whole bunch of debt, and I have the same income with very little debt, it's going to be a lot easier for me to get additional debt. The fourth area that I've already written down here is profitability ratios. And the profitability ratios basically give an indication of how well the firm is utilizing its assets, its debt in general, or in making decisions in general about the firm, whether it's about liquidity, its assets, or its debt position to generate income. In other words, the bottom line. And the better it's doing, and I guess I'll put it like that as a matter of fact, the better job that it is doing, then the better that bottom line is. Now, I have to caution you not to isolate or focus on just the bottom line, because firms can have nice profits, nice net income, and actually go out of business, as we discussed a little bit earlier. Okay, the last group of ratios are the market value ratios, and the market value ratios are the ratios that give an indication of how investors, how members of, and I'm going to put that out here, investors feel about what the firm is doing, about the decisions that the firm is making, and how the firm is being operated. Because the market value ratios give an indication of the actual value of the firm relative to income, for example, and relative to book values. So the better these ratios look, that means the better the investors look upon the firm. In other words, the higher the value those investors are giving to the firm. The third thing you want to take a look at in this chapter are, and I'm just going to use the term uses. Well, I'll use uses slash limitations. And I'm not going to go through all these here, but remember there are some caveats that we should be aware of when looking at ratios. For example, large companies are very difficult to classify in particular industries. General Electric, for example, is a firm that has a variety of industries. It is very prominent in a variety of industries. GE produces small appliances, very large producer of small appliances. GE also has a very large financing firm. In other words, it's like a bank. And GE also has entertainment. I mean, I believe GE still is a partial owner of NBC. So, you know, which category or which industry do you categorize that GE? Well, that makes it difficult when firms are conglomerates and have multi-divisions like that. And you got to be very aware of the fact that we have different accounting techniques that can be used to measure the same item. For example, in inventory, we can use FIFO or LIFO, you know, first in, first out versus last in, first out. Everything else equal, that makes a difference on the balance sheet and the income statement. So firms can use these different accounting methods to their advantage and create some window, what we call window dressing, to make their statements look better than they might otherwise be. Nothing unethical there, because they're using the procedures that are specified by the government and by generally accepted accounting principles, but you got to be aware of things like that. And basically, the big thing I'll put down here next to caveats is the biggest ingredient in the actual use of ratios is judgment, interpretation. You can give financial statements to different experts, and those experts might come up with different interpretations, because there's quite a bit of judgment that is used in evaluating the ratio, the financial statements and the ratios, and you have to put a lot of interpretation in there in terms of identifying the strengths and the weaknesses of the firm. But again, a financial statement analysis, what we're doing is trying to get an indication of where the firm is right now, where the firm, in fact, that's a good point, really, that what we should do, and I'll sneak it in here at the bottom, I think I can, is that we should do both trend analysis and what we call comparative analysis, because we want to know both where the firm is today and where the firm was yesterday, or in other words, in previous years. A firm could be in lousy shape today and it looks like it's a bad investment, but if it came from an even worse position 2 and 3 years ago, that's a sign of improvement, and that might be a real good investment today. And of course, the other way around, if a firm is not, well, a firm could be in an average position today and was in a great position 2 and 3 years ago, that might be an indication it's slipping. And it might be a good indication to get out of that firm if you're in it, or to stay away from the firm if you're considering investing in it.